The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and exclaimed, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me." He said this in reference to the Spirit, that those who came to believe in him were to receive. There was, of course, no Spirit yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You have to say that all throughout life, we have a ton of questions. Questions are what help us get through life. We recognize if we are lost, we usually ask somebody for some directions. When a child is growing up, there's always the questions, "Mommy, what's this?" or "Dad, what's that?" And so all throughout life, there are questions. Questions are endless. I got to tell you that when I first came to Juneau, and many of you are aware that I've only been here for a little over a year, there was a question that was posed to me that surprised me. And it was a question that I received one day when I was catching a float plane ride to Tenneke Springs to go to our St. Francis mission there. And the question was, as I stood at the counter getting, ticketed for the flight to Tenneke Springs on this float plane, the question came, "And sir, how much do you weigh?" Well, I got to tell you that in my years of flying in and out of Washington, D.C., flying in and out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, no one ever asked me the question, "How much do you weigh?" And so I looked, I said, "How much do I weigh?" And he said, "Yes, we need to know how much you weigh for the flight." Well, I looked at him, and I said, "Well, I weigh 389 pounds. And he looked at me, he goes, "You don't weigh 389 pounds. I said, "Let me tell you something. If you're going to ask me how much I weigh, then I want to make sure there's enough power on that plane to get us where we want to go." And I got to confess, I'm not a sexist person, but I want to make up for all those women who are cutting it low. You know, the questions come all throughout life. As I had the chance to gather with Rebecca, Carl, and Kyle downstairs in the Mary Joyce room right before this confirmation to offer them prayers and support to pray with them as we began this beautiful celebration. But before we prayed, I said, "So do you have any questions?" And again, questions is how we grow in faith. One of the three candidates said, "Is it customary to feel like a deer in headlights at this moment?" And I answered by saying, "Actually, yes." And the reason why is you look at the early apostles, and they were scared. When Jesus went through his journey, they weren't quite sure how to respond. When Jesus gathered at the Last Supper, there was sitting at the table the one who betrayed him. There was another who was going to deny him. In Luke's gospel, two who argued back and forth as far as who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You didn't see any of them as Jesus was walking on to Calvary. And at the top of Calvary, you saw one beloved disciple with the women of Jerusalem. When Jesus was laid in the tomb, the disciples hid in fear. 3 days later, when the message came that the tomb was empty, they hid behind locked doors. Jesus appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." The disciples rejoiced. The disciples went out, and there was one who was not with them, Thomas. And so they said to him, Thomas, we've seen the Lord, it's true. And Thomas responds by saying, I won't believe it. I won't believe it until I have a chance to take my finger and put it into the nail marks of his hands, to take my hand and put it into his side. Then and only then will I believe. The disciples gathered again behind locked doors. This time Thomas was with them. Jesus appears and says once again, peace be with you. My friends, a second time, Jesus is offering a divine gift to the disciples. Peace. Peace be with you. How many of us long for peace? We long for peace in our lives. We long for peace in our families. We long for peace in our community. We long for peace in this world. You can't buy it. It is a gift. And Jesus freely gives it. Peace be with you. And then he turns to Thomas. Thomas, go ahead. Probe if you must. Take your finger, put it into the nail marks of my hands. Go ahead. Take your hand, put it into my side. But don't continue with your disbelief. But believe. In Scripture, Thomas never touches him. But Thomas proclaims who he is. Through the lips of Thomas came a declaration, my Lord and my God. There are so many people that were asking questions. They were asking questions all throughout the gospel. Who is this man, Jesus of Nazareth? Isn't he the carpenter's son? Don't we know Mary, his mother? The questions were endless. Isn't this Elijah or one of the prophets? There were all kinds of questions. The questions were all answered on the lips of Thomas in his profession of faith. My Lord and my God. And then Jesus did something that was so familiar and yet so profound. What Jesus did was he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. When you see that act of breathing, we're mindful of how God breathed life into Adam. And when God breathed life into Adam, now through our sinful nature, we are so in need of God's recreative gifts that Jesus now breathes the Spirit into the disciples. We look at the disciples then. From that moment on, did they have the courage to step forth from behind locked doors to do the most amazing thing? And that was to preach the gospel message and Jesus Christ to the far corners of the world. We look at our lives and we see the need for God's presence. We see our own trepidations. And we also see ourselves behind locked doors at times. Because we can be behind our locked doors of fear or anxiety. There are times that our sinfulness takes us into the darkness behind locked doors. We can look at our addictions, our bitterness, our anger, and we can see how difficult it is to come out into the light. And we come before the Lord and say, Lord, please, like the apostles, recreate me. Recreate me. Breathe your Spirit into me so that I can go beyond the locked doors of my own trepidations, so that I may go forth to be the disciple you've called me to be, so that I can go forth and proclaim Jesus Christ through my words and through my actions, through my deeds and through my proclamations. Lord, help me and breathe into me the Holy Spirit. This great solemnity of Pentecost is indeed the celebration of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For Rebecca, Carl, and Kyle, this is a very special and poignant moment for you, because on this wonderful feast, you now receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit that were given to the apostles at Pentecost, now through the sacrament of confirmation. This is indeed a powerful moment. Allow me to read some of the instruction from the church relative to the sacrament of confirmation. It states, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles received the Holy Spirit as the Lord had promised. They also received the power of giving the Holy Spirit to others and so completing the work of baptism. Bishops are the successors of the apostles and have the power of giving the Holy Spirit to the baptized. The gift of the Holy Spirit, which you are to receive, will be a spiritual sign and seal to make you more like Christ and more perfect members of his church. Be active members of the church, alive in Jesus Christ. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, give your lives completely in the service of all as Christ did, who came not to be served, but to serve. And so now, Rebecca, Carl, and Kyle, before you receive the Spirit, I ask you now to stand and renew the profession of faith you made in baptism that you made in union with the church.